Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. My wife, Jodie, grew up in a farm at World's End, some 18 kilometres southeast of Burra, on the dry eastern side of the Mount Lofty Ranges. The property was known as Dutton's Trough because there was a permanent spring that flowed out of the hills overlooking the farm. In earlier days, it was a watering point for drovers who were moving sheep through that country. But later on, it served as an invaluable source of water for the farm. In a history of her life, Jodie's grandmother wrote, "I milked two cows and fed the fowls and did the garden. They had plenty of water. They had a spring about half a mile away up in the hills by the creek. Grandmother Heinrich had made a garden by the spring and she used to drag the water out of the creek for it. Then as they got a bit more financial, they put up a windmill and a tank by the spring and piped the water down to the house and garden. I don't know if the spring has run dry in these last 18 months as South Australia has suffered an extreme rainfall deficit. The widespread rains that fell in July injected a note of hope into what is a desperate situation. And although crops have started to grow and pasture too, we're now experiencing what is known as a green drought. Things may look good on the surface, but the moisture hasn't penetrated deep and the land needs so much more rain." The prophet Jeremiah was sent to speak to God's people in the worst of times, including a severe drought. His message was that God's patience with them had run out because they'd moved further and further away from God's will and God's ways, and enough was enough. We hear this sad refrain in our first reading. They are dismayed and despairing and they cover their heads. Some of us know exactly what this means. Hope is in short supply. Anxiety is high. We feel that we're at the limit of what we can cope with. And then, of course, there's the spiritual impact. God's people cry, "Although our sins testify against us, do something, Lord, for the sake of your name. For we have often rebelled, we have sinned against you. You who are the hope of Israel, its saviour in times of distress. Why are you like a stranger in the land, like a traveller who stays only at night? Why are you like a man taken by surprise, like a warrior powerless to save? You are among us, Lord, and we bear your name. Do not forsake us." There's no holding back. God, we are your people, but where are you? Why aren't you doing anything? We may have felt the same way. God, why is this happening to us, to our land, to our town? Can we hold on? God had given Jeremiah a hard word, a word of judgment to his people. And the drought was one of the means that he used to get their attention. Sadly, though, God goes on to ask Jeremiah not to pray for the well-being of the people because God's made his decision. But what does God say to us today? Does he listen to our prayers? It's bad enough that this drought is making us aware of our frailties and our utter dependence on God, but how much worse would it be if God withheld his care and blessing? We don't have a direct word from God about this drought, not to mention floods elsewhere, the algal bloom that is causing so much damage to our marine environment. It could be that in some cases human actions have exacerbated natural events. We do know that this good creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time, as indeed we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. But what we do know is that we need God. And our sure hope rests in the God who has entered this good yet broken creation in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the game changer, the life giver, the hope bringer, the one who guaranteed that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God. Today we hear from Jesus in the temple. He's at one of the high points in the Jewish religious calendar, the Feast of Tabernacles. This festival was held at the end of harvest. It was a time of giving thanks to God for his provision. But it also commemorated the way God looked after his people on their Exodus journey. In thirsty country, God provided water to sustain them, even from a rock. And during the festival every day, water was drawn from the pool of Siloam, brought to the temple and poured over the altar. The people also heard readings from God's holy book. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. In dry and difficult times, these promises sustained God's people. But God had much more in store for them, and that much more was Jesus, and he was standing right there. On the last and greatest day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me." For 6 days, God's covenant people had been praying and worshipping. It wasn't easy for them living under Roman occupation. They were thirsty for release. They wanted God to act, but many of them had given up real hope that anything would change. You could say they were spiritually dehydrated. In the landscape of our lives, perhaps this is how we feel right now. It could be the drought, or a tough family situation, a relationship that's gone sour, a job that provides little satisfaction, or nagging questions about the future, the why of life. And then we see what's happening around us locally, internationally. These are things that drain our energy and sap our spirits. And in ourselves, we run dry. We become tired and cynical, grumpy, even bitter. Family members, friends, neighbours, we're all in the same boat. People are sick of all the promises that life will be all right if they buy this thing or do that or go to that place. No matter how much we try to ignore this thirst for meaning and for significance, and for security, it will always come back. But Jesus offers relief from this thirst. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Just like the spring that watered the garden at Dutton's Trough and gave life and hope when all around was parched. Jesus' words speak of the living water flowing out of the believer's stomach. It's like that feeling of drinking a glass of chilled water on a hot day. This water of Jesus' love takes away the bitter aftertaste of sin, the parching accusation of guilt, the fear of an uncertain future, and replaces it with a sense of spiritual well-being and renewed energy and hope. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well. Those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The Gospel writer John explains that the river of life that will never dry up is the Holy Spirit. The precious gift Jesus was going to pour out on his church as a result of his sacrifice on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross shows us the extraordinary lengths to which God was prepared to go to bring us back to him. That's why Paul says in Romans 5, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He says in 1 Corinthians, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The living water of the Spirit has been poured out to overflowing in our lives. The spring of new life in Christ will never run dry as we allow God to continually fill us with his Spirit through the word, through the food and drink of the kingdom, in the blood and body and blood of Christ, through prayer and through time spent with brothers and sisters in Christ. The last 18 months have been hard. We continue to pray for rain, knowing Jesus' promise that his Father causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We don't just pray for ourselves, we pray for all people, for the whole state. We pray for life-giving water to flow over a thirsty land. And we pray that others may see the grace of God too through coming to faith in Christ, because this is what ultimately brings hope to the cracked earth of broken lives and dried up futures. May the Holy Spirit replenish you and fill you to overflowing with God's love. May God the Father send drenching rain on the land. And may Jesus the Son bring the living hope of forgiveness to all. Amen.